Morning. Today's daf in Tzemur's Chav Dalet. We're a little bit behind this morning. We are starting today in Chav Gimel and Aleph, and we're starting right halfway down in the Amud with the word Gufa. Gufa's in the beginning of the line. We are discussing the topic of a Karban Chatas Shemesa, Karban Chatas, which is signed for death and disposal, fundamentally because it's no longer needed. It's either the owner no longer needs it, or the animal itself is just no longer usable. Whatever the case is, that's the discussion. The Mishnah opened up the Perek on Chafal Famud Beis, describing the five Chatos and Mesos. There are five of them. There are Lachlam and Shmi Sinai. This is not located anywhere in the Torah, but nevertheless, there are five different categories of Chatos and Mesos. We are going to be discussing today exclusively the Chatos and Iskapra Acheres Baalah. The owner received a kapara with another carbon chatas. What happened with the original one? He lost it. It's avuda. And as a result of the fact that it was lost, so now he sets aside another one and he offers another one. And then he finds the original. So the original now no longer, of course, is needed. And so therefore it's a chatas, it's a chatas amesa. It's a sign for death. So there's a machlokis, and then there's a machlokis layered on top of that. So the original machlokis, the first machlokis, is between Rebbe and the Chacham. Rebbe and the Chachamim debate whether or not, what exactly are the parameters of Chatas Avuda that is Mesa? So first the Sheet of the Chachamim. Chachamim say, under what circumstances is it that the second animal, or I should say better, the original animal is put to death? So says the Chachamim, in a scenario where I lost the original, I set aside a new one, I offered the new one, Kapara has already been achieved through the new one, and then I found the original one. So there, it's intuitive. If you think about it, it really, I mean, to the degree that we can make sense of it, it makes sense. Because at this point in time now, I already offered a replacement, and now when I discover the original one, literally there's no need for it, so it's a sign for death. Tolech lemisa. By the way, death, as we say time and again, means that you put it into a pen and you withhold food from it and it will die on its own. It's disposal. So that's the ishit of the Chachamim. But according to the Chachamim, I lost my original. I set aside a new one. I haven't offered the new one yet, and now I find the original. So now both animals, I'm looking at both animals. According to the Chachamim, this is not a scenario where it's Chatas HaMesa. Obviously, I only need one of the two, so I will use one of the two. I'll talk about which one in just a moment. So I'll use one of the two and the other one. So it's not a sign for death, but what do you do with it? In other words, I can't offer it. So what you do is you let it graze, develop a blemish, sell it, and the proceeds of that sale go towards Nedava. Olas Nedava. It goes to communal voluntary offerings. That is the Sheet of the Chachamim. Then there's the Sheet of Rebbe. Rebbe says that in both cases it's Holech Lemisa, both whether it's Acher Kapara or even if it's Kodem Kapara. Or the terminology the Gemara uses is Avud B'Shas Hafrasha. That as long as I find the original one, doesn't matter whether I've gained Kapara with the second one or even if I just set aside the second one, I was Mafrish the second one, that is going to be both circumstances where the unused one is going to be Holech Lemisa. That's the opinion of Rebbe. Okay, so that is one machlokis. That's the first machlokis. This machlokis we saw in a Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah went through many different cases. There are a total of 8 cases in the Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Beis. We went through the Mishnah. We went through all 8 cases. And the 7th case is where the Mishnah spells out this machlokis, which we just presented. Good. Now, on top of that, there's another machlokis as well. Machlokas amongst the Amoraim between Rav Huna and Rebbe Abba. Rav Huna and Rebbe Abba, parenthetically, are both quoting Rav. So exactly how there's a dispute when they're both quoting Rav, this happens. We've seen this time and again throughout Chas. So they're both quoting Rav. And so let's start off with the sheet of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that even Rebbe's going to agree in the case of, I'm sorry, even the Chachamim are going to agree, even in the case of Avuda B'Shas HaFrasha. What would be an example where the Chachamim would agree? So the terminology that Rav Huna uses is the term Mashach. Mashach versus Lo Mashach. What's the case of Mashach? It goes like this. I set aside my original one, lost it, found the replacement, and then before offering the replacement, I found my original. Okay. But I didn't go to Beis Din. I didn't ask Beis Din anything. I made executive decisions on my own. And what I did on my own is that I offered one over the other. So on my own, I did this without consulting with Beis Din. So by me electing to choose one on my own without going to Beis Din, so the unused one is basically one in which I rejected. It's kind of like the concept of dichui. Rashi uses that terminology, and so therefore, because I went about this on my own, selecting one, and obviously not selecting the other, so this is a form of dichui. Even the Chachamim would agree now that the unused one is holech lemisa. Good. That is according to Rav Huna. Now, if I go to Beis Din, so Beis Din will advise me. How is Beis Din going to advise me? So Beis Din will say to me, look, use the one that was, use a lost one, because both of them could be used for my kapara, so use the lost one. Because when I use a lost one, so what am I left with? I'm left with the replacement. Now, with the lost one, so there was a little bit of a tinge in it, because it was avuda. Now, that by itself is not going to assign it for death, but in other words, it had a little bit of a psul, a little bit. So use the used one. Now what's left is just the replacement, and the replacement literally has nothing wrong with it. So now the replacement, it can be assigned for grazing, developing a blemish, etc., etc. Okay, that is all according to Rav Huna. Fine. Then there is the opinion of Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says that the disagreement between Rebbe and the Chachamim is going to be contingent on which animal I end up using. And according to Rav Huna, according to Rabbi Abba, it doesn't matter whether I did this on my own or if I went to Beis Din. According to Rabbi Abba, if the one that I elect to use is the Eina Avuda, the one that was not lost, so then even the Chachamim would agree that what happens with the Avuda, it's Holech Lemisa. Because again, the Avuda's got a little bit of a tinge to it. It was the lost one, and not only that, but couple that with the fact that I ended up using the replacement, so therefore the lost one is Holech Lemisa. But if I'm Miskaper Bavuda, if the one that I used is the lost one, so then we have the machlokus between the Chachamim and Rebbe. The Chachamim would say that the replacement one that went unused is going to be Holech L'Re'iya, it'll be left to graze, whereas according to the Rebbe, it's Holech Lemisa. Okay,
makes
good.
No difference whether you go to Beis Din or not.
According to Rebbe Abba, it is not a factor in terms of whether you go to Beis Din or you don't go to Beis Din. Right. It's just going to be a function of which one I end up using and which one is the unused one. Okay. So this is now the machlokus between the Chachamim and Rebbe and the machlok, and then the sub-machlokus of Rebbe, either Rav Huna or Rebbe Abba, in that there will be circumstances in which the Chachamim agree to Rebbe, even the case of Avud B'Shas Afrasha. That in of itself already is a good amount of information. Meaning that already is, you just got to process all that information, really firm it up. I wrote everything out just so that I would have more clarity on the issue. But that is the backbone to the entire sugya. We started the sugya yesterday with the Mishnah. Now, if you remember, I'm just going to recap some of the highlights of the Mishnah. There are 8 cases in the Mishnah. I'm not going to go through all 8 right now. But as we went through the Mishnah, so some of the cases of the Mishnah were clearly taking the position of the Chachamim. Some of the cases of the Mishnah were taking the position of Rebbe. And so what we found is that the Mishnah is choppy. And then the Mishnah, in the 7th case, actually explicates the machlokus between the Chachamim and Rebbe. And so the Gemara opened up the discussion with a lot of confusion. Well, which position is the default position of the Mishnah, and which position is it adopting? And the answer seems to be neither. Sometimes the Mishnah presents a case that goes like the Chachamim, sometimes like Rebbe. What's going on? So what the Gemara tried to do is, well, now that we know this sub-machlokus of Rav Huna and Rebbe Abba, maybe what you could do is you can contort and fit cases into the Mishnah, because we do know that according to both Amorayim, there is a point of agreement between the Chachamim and Rebbe, and maybe you could just kind of squeeze that into the Mishnah. It's possible, but according to Rabbi Abba, it's really nearly impossible. So the Gemara ended up concluding that, you know what? I'll tell you how to read the Mishnah. It's very simple. Some of the cases of the Mishnah are going like the Chachamim. Some of them are going like Rebbe. The reader, the learner, us, are supposed to decipher which one's which. And then at the end of the Mishnah says, oh, do you know why you were so confused? Because it's a machlokus. And some of the cases are going like the Chachamim. Some of them are going like Rebbe. Okay. It's an interesting way to read the Mishnah, but that's exactly how the Gemara does so. That is all but a recap of everything we've done since the beginning of the Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Beis. Picking up right now where we left off on Shabbos. So now Gufa. So the Gemara turns its attention to this Machlokas Amorim that I already presented. But now the Gemara is going to spend a little bit of time analyzing both of these positions. Start with Rav Huna. Gufa, Am Rav Huna, Merav HaKomodim, Shei Mashach Echa V'Ikrivu, Sheshni HaMesa. So if you elect on your own without going to Beis Din to decide which of the animals is going to be offered, and the unused one, you elected not to use that one, so then agreement. Both the Chachamim and Rebbe agree, holech lemisa. So, lo nechlegu ela shebalim lach. The question over here is where you go to a Beis Din, and you ask Beis Din what to do. Rebbe sabar lo asu takana bekachem, va'amrin alach yitzkaper b'sheinu avuda, va'avuda mesa. Now, according to Rebbe, how is a Beis Din going to advise you? Beis Din's basically going to tell you, look, it doesn't really matter. Now, it's funny, by the way, that I say that doesn't really matter. It does really matter. Meaning, because if I use the avuda one, so then the ena avuda doesn't have to be assigned for death. But Rebbe takes the position that Beis Din's basically going to be a little bit haphazard in the way they're advising. They'll tell you whichever one you want, you use, but in other words, good. And if you end up using the ena avuda, so then the avuda is holech lemisa. It is odd. I'll say it right now. It's odd that as long as you're going to Beis Din, and Beis Din can advise you in a manner in which one of the animals doesn't have to be assigned for death, it's hard to imagine, according to Rebbe, that Beis Din will advise you any other way. And this isn't just my observation. Tosfos makes this observation as well. You can see the second Tosfos on the Amud that clearly is bothered by this dilemma. Why wouldn't Beis Din advise you in the best manner possible? But according to Rebbe, Beis Din's going to be haphazard in their advisement. And according to the Chachamim, you go to Beis Din, Beis Din's going to give you the proper advice. And the proper advice is going to be, use the second one, use the replacement. Sorry. Use the Avuda. Okay, yeah, right. Let's go with the correct advisement. Use the Avuda, use the original one, the one that was lost. And then for the Eino Avuda, so now you can let it graze. That's the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rebbe. In terms of when you go to Beis Din, is Beis Din supposed to give you proper advisement? I know I'm repeating myself. Hard to imagine that that's the subject of the debate, but that's the way the Gemara presents it. So most of Rav Mishar Shavu Lo'asu Takana B'Kachem V'Atanya. The Gemara says, let's consider now the following braisa. Yoch L'matam L'am L'am Shima Ishim Haisa Achila Mu'etes Ochlin Ima Chulin V'Truma Kedei Shetei Nechela Salasova. You went to the Beis HaMikdash, you offered a mincha, and now with the mincha you have now shirayim. I say you, I don't really mean you have shirayim. Shirayim are eaten by the Kohanim, but the Kohanim have shirayim. Good, excellent clarification. Now, with the Kohanim having the shirayim, so how are they supposed to be eating the shirayim? And the answer is like any karban, they're supposed to eat it not in a miserly fashion, and not while they're famished. They're supposed to eat it regally. And so therefore, they're going to be put under advisement by the Beis Din of the Beis HaMikdash in terms of, is there not enough shirayim for all you Kohanim? So let's get some supplemental food. We'll get some truma. We'll get some chulin. Rashi is bothered by the obvious question. How are they bringing chulin into the Azara so that the Kohanim can eat the chulin? You're not allowed to bring chulin to the Azara. But Rashi says that's not such a dilemma. They'll start eating the chulin right outside the Azara, and their stomachs are going to get half full. And then when they go in to eat the shirayim, so now they'll be eating it and not ravenously. Or let's say there's a lot of shirayim, and there's a lot of shirayim, so then Beis Din will advise, don't eat anything, save your appetite. There's plenty of shirayim. So basically what we find over here is that the Beis Din in the Beis HaMikdash is going to be advising the Kohanim how to properly eat the shirayim. So my love afilo Rebbe lo Rabbanan. And now, isn't this Bryce going like Rebbe? Rebbe says that Beis Din is not obligated to give you proper advisement. So the Gemara says, no, this Bryce is not going like Rebbe, it's going like the Chachamim. Okay. Rebbe Abba Amar. Okay, next. We're moving on to the opinion of Rebbe Abba. Rebbe Abba quotes the following in the name of Rav. Hakomodim, everyone's in agreement, b'miskaper b'sheino avuda she'avuda mesa, that if I use the eino avuda, the one that was not lost, the replacement, so then the avuda is holech lemisa. Aman echleku de miskaper b'avuda, the debate between the two is when I use the one that was the avuda. Now, Rebbe Savar, mafresh liba kiba dame, v'rabbanan savrei lav kiba dame. So, really interesting machlokus over here, as understood by Rebbe Abba. When I use the one that was not lost, the replacement, so the avuda is tainted, and everyone agrees, even the chachamim agree, and so therefore the chachamim would say it's holech lemisa. But if I use the one that is that was Avuda, the original, that was lost, and now I'm using the Eina, and now I'm left with the Eina Avuda, so the Chachamim said, good. It has no tinge to it whatsoever. There's no tainting of it whatsoever. It wasn't lost. And so therefore the Chachamim said, it's not Holech Lamisa. And again, you let it graze, develop a blemish, and the proceeds go to Nadava. What about Rebbe? Really interesting position of Rebbe, which is that Rebbe says, look, when I replace something, that replacement is going to take on the full identity of what it's replacing. What I lost, obviously, has the status of Avuda, by definition. When I replace it with something, that replacement now is going to take on the identity. And it will also be an Avuda. Now, obviously, I didn't lose it, but since it replaced a lost animal, it will have the status of a lost animal. And so, therefore, according to Rebbe, it doesn't matter which one you end up using, because both of them have the status of Avuda. One is an actual Avuda, and the other one, being the replacement for Avuda, is also going to have the status of Avuda as well. Okay, that is Rebbe Shita. Tanan, the Gemara says, let's consider the following Mishnah. Now, we've seen this Mishnah already before, and we're going to get to see this Mishnah numerous times. Hashini yirat shi ad shi stai v'yamakir v'yimplu dav l'dava, shein chata sibra mesa. Okay, the second one. Now, the case over here is the Seirim of the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, and we know that we have a Gora, we have a lottery to decide which of the two goats, they're identical goats, right? In other words, they have to look the same, they have to be of the same value, and and these identical goats now are going to be, through lottery, decided which one's Lashem and which one's Lazazel. And they're a pair. And as we learned already numerous times, they both have to obviously be eligible to be brought as a carbon, because we don't know which one's going to be which. Now, I do the lottery, the Kohen Gadol does the lottery, and now we have determined. One of the animals, right after the lottery, one of the animals dies, or becomes disqualified. And so now we need to get a second animal. How do we get the second animal? We can't just simply bring a second animal in, because that second animal wasn't chosen via lottery. So what we need to do is bring another pair of animals, we'll do the lottery on the second pair of animals, and so that will create a new Lashem and a new Lazazel. One of those animals, obviously, is a redundancy, right? The animal that we need, good, we'll use it. But one of the animals is a redundancy. Now, in this redundancy, so now I have two animals the same, either two Lashems or two Lazazels. So what do I do with the second animal? Now, here's the part that's really not clear from the Mishnah. Which redundancy? The one from the original pair or the one from the new pair? It's not clear from the Mishnah, right? So, Hasheni Yira Ashi Yistai V'yamakir V'yimplu Dabav V'nadava. Well, whichever one we're talking about, the Mishnah tells us very clearly what to do with the redundancy. And that is, let a graze develop a blemish, and the proceeds will go to Nadava. Okay, now, the Mishnah over here is clear about one thing, and that is, you know, if this was a private carbon yachid, it'd be holech lemisa. But it's a carbon sibur, and therefore it's not holech lemisa. So now with that information, so now we get to go forward. Habi yachid mesa. So the inference, we haven't clarified that point yet. We're going to clarify that point. Okay. So hayachid mesa. So let's start off with the very clear inference. If this was a private carbon and this in a corresponding chata scenario, so it'd be holach lemisa. Okay, that's very clear. Now the amar Rav Balechai Menidachim. So according to Rav, live animals are not pushed off. They're not disqualified. So that means to say that the original animal, the surviving original animal, is still eligible. Mm-hmm. Now, kishu miskaper, bisheni shibazug rishon miskaper. So, of the redundancy, which one do I use? The original, the surviving from the original, or do I use the second of the second pair? And so, according to Rav, the answer is very simple. Because balei chayim are einam nidachim, so therefore I'm going to be using the surviving original. So, good. So now what do I do with my redundancy of the second pair, the idach basra, havalei kemafresh leibud. And so as far as the second of the second pair, the redundancy of the second pair, so when I set it aside, so it's as if I set it aside knowing that we're not going to use it. So this is now mafresh leibud. The time of the tzibur hayachid mesa, and the reason why it is not going to be a sign for death is because this is a carbon sibor. But had it been a carbon yachid, it'd be holech lemisa. Okay, that was a lot of building, but every step in this process, however, makes perfect sense. Where are we right now after putting all those steps together? That in a scenario where I'm mafresh a carbon chatas le'ibod, it has the status of ibod, and therefore it's holech lemisa. Now, if you're Rebbe, you're super happy with this Mishnah and the conclusion of the Mishnah. Now, if you're the Chachamim, this presents a problem. Now, all this is only if you understood it the way Rabbi Abba understands the Machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. And so really this question is against Rebbe Abba. Now, my love, afilo Rabbanan, lo Rebbe, Rebbe he. So the question is, this Mishnah over here, isn't it going also like the Chachamim? And the answer is actually very simple. Not necessarily. This Mishnah and all the steps that we got from this Mishnah to get us to the conclusion is not going like the Chachamim, but rather it's going like Rebbe. Okay. Tanan. We are on the top of Chav Gimel Bid Beis. Hamafish Chatzos V'Avda V'Ikri V'Acheres Tachteha Tamus. I set aside a carbon chatzos, I lose it. And now, I not only set aside a replacement, but I offer the replacement. So now when I find the original Tamus, it is a sign for death. Time of the Kreva, Halo Ikriva Tira. So now the inference seems to be pretty clear that if I did not offer the replacement, but I just set aside the replacement, again, the classic scenario of Avuda B'Shas Afrasha, so then what happens with the surviving animal, of whichever one the unused animal, the unused carbon chatas, it's left to graze. So Loshna Miskaper B'Avuda, Loshna Miskaper B'Sheino Avuda. Now the Mishnah doesn't say this, but the Mishnah also doesn't say otherwise. Does it matter which one you use? Doesn't seem that way, whether I use the original lost one or whether I use the replacement. And also the Mishnah does not make a distinction of whether or not I made a executive decision on my own or whether I went to Beis Din. So to Yufta to Tarvayu. So this, the way now we set up the Mishnah and the inference from the Mishnah is problematic. For whom? For both. For both. For both Rav Huna and for Rabbi Abba. So the Gemara says, Milsa de psikale katani, Milsa de lo psikale lo katani. Gemara's answer, actually pretty simple. Don't make inferences from the Mishnah. Meaning, because what the Mishnah was looking to do is set up a case that is unequivocal. The case where I lost the original, I replaced it and offered the replacement, and now only afterwards found the original, that's unequivocal. We all agree, both Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna, and we can go up the ladder to the Chachamim and Rebbe, they all agree that the one that was lost now is a sign for death. In fact, this is it. This is the classic case of Avuda, in which it's Holech Lemisa. After that, then it gets complicated. The Mishnah didn't want complicated. The Mishnah wanted a case which was unequivocal. Tanan. The Gemara quotes another section of the Mishnah. Hamafish Masa Chatas Vav Davi Frish Acherim Tachteihem V'Acharkach Nimtzu Amaos Yavi Meilu Meilu Chatas V'Asher Yiplu Nadava. Another case from the Mishnah. I set aside money for a carbon chatas. I lost that money. I replaced it with new monies. I found the original. So now what I can do under those circumstances where I have both the original money and the replaced money, I could pool the monies together, and then from that pooled money, I'll buy a chatas. What about any of the residual money? That's mosaros. And with mosaros, what can happen with mosaros? That can go in a dava. Now, once again, that's the Mishnah. That's where the clarity of the Mishnah is. What about the inference of the Mishnah? That's where the Gemara is going. But let's say I didn't pull the monies together. Let's say I just kept the money separate and used one of the monies. Sounds like inferentially from the Mishnah that the remaining money is Holech Lemisa. Now you don't kill money, you throw it into Yam HaMelech. But same thing. And now, Loshna Miskaper Ba'Davud of Loshna Miskaper B'Sheinu Avud of Loshna Mashach Loshna Lo Mashach. And in this inference that we're now learning the Mishnah, there is no distinction. Doesn't matter which monies I'm using, the original or the replaced. Doesn't matter whether I made an executive decision on my own or I went to Beis Din and to Yufta to Tarvayu. And once again, if we're reading the Mishnah correctly, inferentially, so now it comes out that both the positions of Rav Huna and Rabbi Abba become problematic. Hachanami milsa de psikale katani milsa lo psikale lo katani. And again, the Gemara's answer again, super clear. Which is, the Mishnah, don't read the Mishnah inferentially. The Mishnah was only dealing with a case which is unequivocal. And so after that, it gets complicated. The Mishnah didn't want to get into the complication. The Mishnah just wanted to give a case that's nice and clear. Okay. And more or less, that ends this section of the Gemara.
So you shechted the new one before you found the Avuda.
What, in the case that we just cited? No, well, the second case, it's money.
The second case would be money.
Money.
But the same thing. That's why it's everybody agrees that it's the miser.
Well, in the second case, you not only found the original money, but you pooled the monies together. So that's why in the second case, it's not holech lemisa because the monies were pooled together.
Yeah, but if you don't pool it together.
Okay, but that's where the inference is. Right, that now you're saying the inference.
Right.
And the Gemara says the Mishnah didn't want to get involved in that because it gets complicated. Amar Rabbi Ami. Okay, and now with that stated, so we now have some clarity on a case of chatas lemisa. Now we're going to go to the other side. You have two carbon chatases, but it's not lemisa. What would that case be? So it's a case that we go through many times throughout Shas, but here it is. The Gemara here in Chav Gimel and Beis and Temura goes over the case in its classic presentation. Hamafresh neitzibure maos laachrayos. So let's say what I do is as follows. I'm a nervous individual. I not only set aside money for a carbon chatas, but also two times more than what I need. Why am I setting aside so much money? I'm just nervous. The second portion of money, it's an insurance policy. I basically bought an insurance policy on my carbon chatas. So I know I'm going to bring my carbon chatas because either I have the original money, but it's not replacement money, and that is the key to this entire discussion. It is, I'm setting aside that second monies from the get-go. It is le'achrayus. And so therefore, miskaper be'achamem v'sheni yiplu l'nadava. So the Rabbi Ami says in such a scenario, the second monies are not holech lemisa. Under no circumstances is it holech lemisa. Because we have no avuda situation going on over here. There's no loss. Nothing got lost. All the monies were set aside from the original, from the origination, as money for a carbon chatas. I know I set aside more than what I need. I knew I would end up with a surplus. That's fine. That surplus money is not going to be destroyed, but rather, you're going to use it, you're going to put in the pushka for nedava. Now, Aliba Daman. Now, this position that's given to us by Rabbi Ami, he's an Amora. So he's now working within whose opinion? We have, now I'm going to say we have two to choose from. We have actually three opinions to choose from. We have Rebbe, we have the Chachamim, and this takes us back a little bit. We also have Rebbe Shimon. Now, who is Rebbe Shimon? We haven't seen him in our sugya. He wasn't a previous sugya. We're going to bring him back over here. Ilem aliba de Rebbe Pshita, diapul nadava, ad kan lo kama Rebbe ela b'mafish li'ibut, avalach rayos moda. So, as far as Rebbe's concerned, this is an obvious point. Rebbe says that the only time we are going to assign something for either death or in this case money, which is destruction, is only if there's ibud. Over here there is no ibud. And according to the Chachamim, it's even more pashut, because according to the Chachamim, even in the case of ibud, if I find my lost, in this case money, prior to me offering the original money, I'm sorry, prior to me offering the replacement money, so according to the Chachamim, even in that case, it's not Lemisa, or in this case, Liam HaMelech. So over here, there's no Ibud. So according to the Chachamim, it's even more Pashut. So not a Chiddush for Rebbe, an obvious point for Rebbe, not certainly not a Chiddush for the Chachamim, even more obvious to the Chachamim. So this is a Chiddush for Rebbe Shimon. It's Rechlei. Now, who's Rebbe Shimon? So he came up earlier in this Masechta. Rabbi Shimon says that the case of the Chamesh Chatos Mesos, he says there is no exclusion. Anytime I lose one, so then, and I replace it, it's Holech Lemisa, according to the Chachamim. Doesn't matter if it's Bishas Afrasha, doesn't matter if it's Bishas Kapara. Under all circumstances, Rabbi Shimon says it's Holech Lemisa. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, then this represents obviously a Chiddush. I could have made the argument that Rabbi Shimon never has a case of Nadava and Kamash Malan, the Islay Nadava. So now this obviously represents a Chiddush for Rabbi Shimon, who takes a very hard line, just black and white position regarding the Chatos Amezos of Avuda. And over here, this is an exception. Why is this an exception? And the answer is very simple. Because there's no Avuda over here. You didn't lose anything. Or Hatanan. The Gemara now is bothered because we started off our assertion that Rabbi Shimon has no scenario of Nadava. That's not totally true. And the Gemara is now going to make its case that that's not totally true. We are learning together the Mishnah in Shkalim. The Mishnah in Shkalim goes over the the pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash. Pushkas, they are called shofaros. They are not shofar. They look like a shofar. They're shaped like a shofar, narrow on the top, wide on the base. And the 13 of them, so we're going to go through all 13. And what the monies that are put into these pushkas are designated for. Each one is labeled. So you don't have to commit this to memory. I mean, we do, the learners, but in the Beis HaMikdash, they were all labeled. Shlosha so shofar so yeh b'mikdash v'yikasav aleihem. And they were written on them, number one, tikkun chatatin. The machzitz shekel that I'm offering this year, I'm putting in pushka number one. Now, isn't there a collection? The answer is yes, there is. And I wasn't early enough in the year to make it to the collection. So, in other words, now I'm going to, when I go to the Beis HaMikdash, and I haven't offered my machzitz shekel yet, so I'm going to put it in pushka number one. Then, number two, atikin. Let's say I owe back machzitz shekel from a previous year. So that goes into a second pushka. Why? Because, as we've discussed time and again, in the Beis HaMikdash, operations of the Beis HaMikdash has to go fiscally from one year to the next. And those years have to be kept separate. The karbanos of this year have to be from this year's money. So, and that means to say that when I have back money from a previous year, it cannot be applied to this year's monies and this year's operations. So that's why there's a second pushka. Number three, kinim. If somebody owes a pair of birds, a chatas and an ola, so they put in pushka number three. Goes le'ola. Number four, somebody elects volunteers to offer birds of a carbon ola, put in pushka number four. Number five, eitzim. Somebody donates wood to the Beis HaMikdash, but doesn't donate the actual wood, but sets aside money for wood for the Beis HaMikdash. It goes in pushka number five. Number six, lavona. If a person makes a commitment to bring Lavona to the Beis HaMikdash, and not the actual Lavona, but money to buy the Lavona, that goes in pushka number six. And finally, number seven, Zavla Kapores, and gold. Right? Gold from interval to interval had to have been replaced in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a lot of gold used in the Beis HaMikdash, especially in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and so therefore there was a seventh pushka for the gold. Vishisha L'Nadava. Okay, so that's seven. What about the last six? So the last six are Nadava. So that if somebody wants to bring a voluntary offering, not wants to bring, but wants to sponsor voluntary offerings, not private voluntary offerings, but rather public voluntary offerings, where in the slow time of the Beis HaMikdash, where there's just simply no activity going on the Mizbeach, outside of the Tamishol Shachris and the Tamishol Bein Arbaim, so they could dip into this fund of the last six pushkas and use it for Nedava. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so this is so designated for Nedava that here's what's not going to be happening from these monies. These monies are going to be used all for Karban Ola. So much so, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that not only are the animals going to be offered as a Karban Ola, but normally what happens to the hide of a Karban Ola? So it's flayed off the animal, and it's given to the Kohanim. Here, nah. What is going to happen to the hides are going to be flayed off the animal. They're going to be sold. The proceeds of that sale will once again go towards another series of Karban Ola. Now, by the way, this goes on a loop. Because then the next series of Karbanos, same thing. You're going to have the hides of those animals being sold, and those proceeds are going to go towards another Karban Ola. Okay. You're right. No end. So, Div Rabbi Yehuda, Amal Rabbi Nechemiah, Vamile Rabbi Shimon. Now, in response to that, is either the opinions of either Rabbi Nechemiah or Rabbi Shimon. Focus right now on the fact that on the second version, where it's Rabbi Shimon, Imke Bitla Mijashol Shol Yo Yada Kohen, Titania, Zemijashol Shol Yo Yada Kohen, Asham Hu, Kulo Lahav, Asham Hu, the word Kulo, we can skip over, Lavi Koldavar, Haba Mimoser, Chatos Vashamos. Now, Yoyada Kohen, by the way, a Kohen who lived during Bais Rishon, who's darshaning a pasuk, based on the drasha and the pasuk, you'll forgive me, I'm not going to go through the entire drasha right now, but basically from the drasha, he learns out that anytime you have a surplus of either an Asham or a Chatas, so that surplus money is spent on a Dava in which the meat go onto the Mizbeach, and the hides go to the Kohanim. And if you're telling me that the hides don't go to the Kohanim, what do you do with the drasha of Yoyada Kohen? Anyway, what comes out over here is something very clear. According to the version of, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, we have just clearly explicated that according to Rabbi Shimon, the hides do in fact go to the Kohanim. So you mean to tell me earlier that we never have a scenario where the hides go to the Kohanim? Over here, we do. Ama Isla Nadava. And more fundamentally, you see that according to Rabbi Shimon, you have a concept of surplus going to Nadava. So the Rabbi Shimon, Itzrich. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm with you. But still, I would have said it's a chiddush, even for Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because Sakadat Chamina Kisle Nadava le Rabbi Shimon Bechad Sidra, Ava Betray Sidra lo Kamash Malan. Because here's what I would have thought. Yes, it's true that Rabbi Shimon just taught us that if I have a surplus, it goes towards Nadava. We did just learn this. But maybe in the case of Chad Sidra, what is Chad Sidra? Rashi explains. It means like this. I set aside money for a Chatas or for an Asham, and I didn't set aside extra money. I set aside the right amount of money. It just happens to be that when I went to go purchase either the animal for the Chatas or for the Asham, a drop in price. And so now, all that money was set aside, but I didn't need all that money. In such a scenario, we could make the argument, okay, so that's surplus money which goes to Nadava. However, we're discussing a somewhat more involved scenario in which I set aside more money than I actually needed. In other words, that's Trey Sidre. Trey Sidre is where what we're discussing. I set aside money and I set aside a second amount of money as my built-in insurance policy. Under those circumstances, maybe according to Rabbi Shimon, that second set of money is not going to be used for Nadava. And so the chiddush is that even in such a scenario, it is in fact going to be used for Nadava. Okay, Adkan. So Rabbi Ami's position, very clear, that if I set aside monies two times over for one carbon chatas, that second monies is not holech lemisa, it's not going to be destroyed, it's not holech liyamamelech, but rather it's going to be applied to Nadava. And is that a chiddush? So for Rabbi, no. It's obvious. For the Chachamim, no. It's even more obvious. It's a chiddush for Rabbi Shimon. Okay, period. Chavda alamad alaf, top of the amad. Amar Rebbe Oshia. Hamafish shechatos achrayos. Miskaber v'achas mehem v'chaverta roe. Now we're going to say over the same thing Rabbi Ami said, but Rabbi Ami said in relation to money. Now Rebbe Oshia is saying the same thing regarding animals. So, I have to bring one carbon chatos. I bring two animals. Why am I bringing two animals? Once again, built an insurance policy. Something happens to the first animal, I have the second animal. Now, obviously, when I get to the base of Mikdash and both animals are fine, so you'll bring one animal and the other animal is Roeh. It's left to graze. It's not Lamisa. Now, Aliba Daman, we're going to ask the same question again. This is a Chiddush for whom? El Ilem Aliba de Rabban and Hasha, Mafresh Li Ibadami Rabban and Lavki Ibadame, La Achrayus Mibaye. So for the Chachamim, it's not a Chiddush. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, consider in the classic scenario where I lost one and I set aside a replacement. The replacement doesn't have any taint to it whatsoever. It's not given the status of Ibud. So according to the Chachamim over here, there's no loss to begin with. I set aside both at the point of origination. So El Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Hamar Rabbi Shimon, Chamesh Chatos Mesos. Oh, so maybe it's a chiddush for Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, how could it be a chiddush for Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon says that in all cases where I have an additional animal, it's holech lemisa. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you know what would happen to that second animal? It's holech lemisa. So el aliba de Rabbi. So the Gemara says this chiddush is according to Rabbi. Ki amar Rabbi be'ibud ava achrayas lo. And why is it a chiddush for Rabbi? Because consider, according to Rabbi, when I replace a lost one, the replacement has the status of lost. But that's because it's replacing a lost one. Over here by achrayas, I'm not replacing a lost one. I set aside both at the point of origination, so therefore neither have the status of Ibud, neither one nor two, and so that's why, according to Rebbe, the second one is not Holech Lemisa, but rather Roeh, left to graze. Tanan. On this, the Gemara now is going to be asking the following question. Hamafrish Chatos Vaharehi Balas Mom Mochro Mevi Acheres Tachteha. You set aside a carbon chatos, it gets blemished. This is the eighth case of the Mishnah. Back on Chav Beis Amud Beis. I set aside a carbon chatas, it gets blemished. So what do? I redeem it. And in redeeming it, I'm selling it to somebody. Now, when he purchases it, he understands that what he's purchasing is psulei hamukdashim. But that's fine. What can you do with psulei hamukdashim? You can eat it anywhere you want. And now, with the proceeds of that sale, I'm going to buy a good carbon chatas. And that carbon chatas I'm going to offer. Nice, simple, straightforward. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omerim Karvashniya, Kodim Shinishchata Rishona, Tamashikvar Kipra Ba'alaha. Now, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon takes the following position. And when we learned the Mishnah, I highlighted how much of a chiddush this is. This is a chiddush, which is that Same scenario. I had a carbon chatzis. It got blemished. I sold it to somebody else. I took that redemptive money. I purchased a good carbon chatzis with it. And so now I offer my carbon chatzis before the buyer was able to use his carbon chatzis. He no longer can use his carbon chatzis. It is now deemed a chatashe niskapru acheres. Now that is a wild idea. Why is it so wild? Because that's no longer a chatas. It was redeemed. And according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, all that's true, but it still has residual chatas status to it. Now, kasa kadacha.
The guy who bought it, he doesn't know.
If he doesn't know, we could talk about mekechtos. Let's assume he knows. Right now, we're just dealing with the concept. In other words, and then the practicality of how this actually plays out. There's certainly good points, but just right now the concept. Now kasaka dacha de Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon ke Rebbe Svirle. Now here's the part which we're really not clear about. This position Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, he's subscribing to which opinion, Rebbe or the Chachamim? Right now we think he's subscribing to Rebbe's opinion. The afila b'achrayos nami lo. So and this is similar to what? In other words, basically, we have two carbon chatzis, basically. Now, is this like ibud? Now, the answer is, it's not really like ibud. No animal was lost over here. So, if anything, this is more analogous to the case of achrayus. And, if this is a more analogous to the case of achrayus, and we're saying that what happens to the second one, it's lemisa, so we obviously now have a problem. Because we've just encountered a shita, which we think right now is going like Rebbe, which we think it's going like Rebbe. It's comparable to a case of achrayus and it's holek lemisa. And this obviously presents a question against Rav Oshia. So the Gemara says, no. Dilma Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon kavu asvirle damar chamash chatos mesos. So, but the Gemara gives a much simpler pshat, which is, you know who Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon is following? His father. Meaning he is Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. And so his father is Rebbe Shimon. And what do we learn regarding Rebbe Shimon? Anytime I have a extra carbon chatas, regardless of the circumstance, lost or even achrayus, it's holech lemisa. Okay, good. Now you understand that this position, Rebbe Elazar, following like Rebbe Shimon, will say that that animal that was sold is holech lemisa because he starts off holding like his father. Tanan, lefishein chatas sibra mesa. Once again, we go again back to the Mishnah Yuma, talking about the selection of the other seir. And what happens? So again, the Mishnah says that we are going to do another lottery in order to select whichever animal we needed. Obviously, that second animal serves as a redundancy. So what happens to it? We let it graze. Why do we let it graze? Because it's a carbon seabor. And so again, let's go step by step. Hadi achid mesa. And that means to say that in a corollary scenario, had it been a carbon yachid, it's holech lemisa. On top of that, v'amarav balechayim eina nidachim. And also we know that according to Rav, we know that live animals are not rejected. So that means, which of the redundancies am I going to use? The one from the first pair or the one from the second pair? According to Rav, I'm using the one from the first pair. So and that means now that, like this, the second animal is holech lemisa. Not in this case because it's a carbon seabor. But in the corresponding scenario of a carbon yachid, so the second one is holech lemisa. Now, this is a case of ibud, or it's a case of achrayus? Or I should say better, this is more like a case of ibud or more like a case of achrayus? It's certainly much more like a case of achrayus. Nothing was lost over here. We didn't lose an animal. It's just that one of the original pair got rejected, and so therefore we need to cast a new lottery in order to get its replacement. But nothing got lost over here, so this is much more comparable to a case of achrayus. And kishum is kaper. I'm sorry. Amar abalechaim ena nidachim kishum is kaper. B'sheni shibazug rishum is kaper. V'ida chavale achrayos. So this is more like a case of achrayos. V'ketani di yachid mesa. And nevertheless, what happens to that extra one? It's holech lemisa. And now all this obviously poses a problem to Rabbi Oshia, because Rabbi Oshia taught us that when I set up two animals and the second one is achrayos, it's not holech lemisa. That presents a problem. The Gemara solution. Rav, l'taymi damar mitzvah berishon. So Rav is consistent with what he says elsewhere. Rashi says that the elsewhere is regarding the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach scenario is that you set up a Karban Pesach, but you lost it, and you set aside another Karban Pesach, but you found the original. So which one should you use?
Yeah,
so,
but process, hold on, Rabbi Yossi, in the way.
Yeah, correct, correct. In other words, right. Rashi points that out. That's accurate. So the so Rav says that I should use the first. Why should I use the first? Because mitzvah berishon. Because since you tag that as your first Karban Pesach, and even though you lost it, but once you discovered it, that should be the one you're using. So mitzvah berishon. So over here, same thing. Meaning the reason why the second one is holach lemisa in the case of the chatzos of the seir of Yom Kippur is because since the first one was tagged first as your seir, so therefore the second one is sheni, obviously, it's your redundancy. And according to Rav, I always should use the first one. It's almost as if, the Gemara doesn't use this terminology, but I'll use it just to help us understand the Gemara. It's almost like dikui. It's almost like now we know already that the second one that served as the redundancy is now going to be rejected out of hand. That's why it's holach lemisa. But in Rav Oshia's scenario where I set up both at the beginning, so then the second one is not holach lemisa. Tani Rav Shimi Bar Ziri Kameh D'Rav Papa Avda B'Shas Afrash L'Rebbe Meisel L'Rabban Antira. And so now the following brisa was said over in front of Rav Papa. Brisa reads like this. I lost the original. I replaced it, and before I offered the replacement, I found the original. According to Rabbi, this is a case of Chatas Mesa. According to Rabbanan, it's not a case of Chatas Mesa, but rather let it graze. So far, that was excellent review of what we already knew. Second part of the brisa, however, becomes problematic. Avda b'shas kapara, l'Rabbanan Mesa, l'Rabbi Roeh. But if you're ovid it b'shas kapara, so, according to the Chachamim, it is a sign for death, and according to Rebbe, you let it graze. What? What? What happened in that second half of the Braisa? That, of course, makes no sense. Kavachomer. Oma avudu b'shas hafrashad amri rabbanan roa amri Rebbe mesa avudu b'shas kapara de l'rabbanan mesa l'rebbe lo kol shekein. The logical argument over here is that if, in the case where hafrasha, the Chachamim say it's not a sign for death, and by la'acher kapara, the Chachamim say it is the sign for death. So you see, la'acher kapara is much more fertile ground for misa. Rebbe's starting point is holech lemisa by the case of hafrasha. So certainly in the case of la'acher kapara, for sure it's holech lemisa. Aside from the fact that the Gemara has repeated this point again and again, but logically it's easy to deduce it. So elatani hachi. So obviously this brisa is corrupted. It needed editing. Rav Papa says, let's edit. So avud b'shas hafrash l'Rebbe Mesa l'Rabban Roeh b'shas kapara divrei akol mesa. In the case where I only found the original after I offered the replacement, so then hakol modim, everyone would agree that the original that was lost is holech lemisa. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes the following brisa: Margilin b'yom tov. One is now allowed to do margilin on yom tov. Now, if this sounds familiar, so good, your memory is excellent. This takes us back to Bechoros. On Daf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara over there talks about how you're not allowed to flay an animal in a certain way on Yontif. Now, you're allowed to shecht an animal, you're allowed to eat the meat of an animal on Yontif. This is Ochel Nefesh. Ochel Nefesh is permitted on Yontif. But in terms of flaying of the animal, that you can't do. You can't flay the animal in a certain manner. This is what's called Margilin. Now, being that I've seen flaying done once in my lifetime, so it is fair to say, I am no expert. But basically what it is that you cut by the ankles, the hide by the ankles, and you are now going to peel off the hide in one tube. So that when the hide comes off the animal, it's going to be tubular. Obviously, there are going to be openings where the extremities are, but that could easily be stitched up. And the reason why you want a tubular hide is you want a thermos, you want some sort of container. Now, in doing so, so this is a painstaking process. So you can't do this on Yom Tov, Kayotze Bo, and Margilim, but Bechor, you can't do this by Bechor, Velo, Bepsula, and Mugdashim. So three areas in Halacha where you cannot flay the animal in such a manner. One, if you're doing it on Yom Tov. Two, if it's by a Bechor. And three, if it's by Psule HaMugdashim. And all three of these, you cannot flay in that manner. Of those three, two of them are easy to understand, one of them gets a little bit trickier. Now, Bishlam b'yantiv dekatarach tircha delo chazilei. So yantiv, it's very simple. On yantiv, you're allowed to eat. On yantiv, you're not allowed to engage in laborious activity. This is a painstaking process. This is not to be done on yantiv. This will detract from your simchas yantiv. This is falls under the category of Tircha Yisera, and so therefore the Chacham banned this activity on Yom Tov. Good. That we understand. Ela b'chor mantana, amr chisa b'shamei hidamar b'chor b'kdusha zokai. Did not b'shamei amr lo yimna Yisrael makon al ha-b'chor. And so as far as b'chor is concerned, we also understand it. When we go back to the Gemara and b'chor and Daf Lamed Gimel, we'll remind ourselves the machlokes between b'shamei and b'shalom. A b'chor that's blemished. And now the Kohen's eating it in his house. Good. Who can he invite over for dinner tonight? He's going to be having b'chor meat. So according to Beis Hillel, he can invite whoever he wants, right. Even a guy. If you remember the Mishnah, right. back in Bechoros, according to Beis Shammai, no, this still has Bechor status to it, even though it's a balmum, and even though he's not offering it as a carbon, but still Bekdusha Sokai, it remains in the Kedusha of a Bechor. Again, not to the full degree, obviously, but still, and it can only be eaten by Kohanim. Oh, so therefore it has carbon-like qualities to it. So margil in this type of flame, that's not proper way to treat yourself when it comes to a carbon. And again, it's not a carbon in the classic sense, but according to Beis Shammai, still has the bechor qualities to it. So that one I also understand. What about the last one? Psula hamukdashim. Psula hamukdashim mantana. Who is the author of Psula hamukdashim? Amar Rav Chista, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, he did Tanya. So as far as Psula hamukdashim is concerned, so I'll use the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon to explain why you can't do this process of margilin when it comes to psula hamukdashim. Because consider now the following braisa. I have two karmen chatasas. One of them is a tamim. The other one's a balas mum. Why do you have these two? So Rashi explains over here is that you set up one, but one got blemished. So immediately you set aside another one. So one now is a tamim. The other one is a balas mum. So tamima takri, balas mum tifta. So the tamima you're going to offer and the balas mum you're going to redeem. And it's considering that it was a chatas, we know what to do with the redemption money. Nedava. Nishkata balas mum. Ashelo nizrak damashot tamima. So muteris. If let's say by the balmum it ended up getting shechted before the tamima was offered, so then it would be permitted. It still needs to be redeemed, but it would be permitted. Mishnizrak damashot tamima. Asura. If, however, let's say we first offer the tamima, so then the balas mum is asur. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amar afila basar balas mum bekedera v'nizrak damashot tamima yotzal beis asreifa. Now, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says that this balas mum will always have vestiges of the carbon identity. That means that according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, even post pidyon, even after it's put in the pot, even after it's about to be consumed, if the carbon chatas of the tamima was offered, so then that will deem this meat to be chatas in his kapur ba'acheres. And so therefore, it is going to be destroyed, disposed of. Now I'd say holach lamisa, but it's in the pot. It's already dead. It's too late to dispose of it by killing it, but take it to the base of Sreifa. Okay, dispose of it other ways. Burn it. Rav Chista, I'm sorry. So, and now you see that according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, your carbon chatas bal mum is still going to have vestiges of the Kedusha. And that's why you can't do margilin. Okay. Now, Rav Chista, look, may David de Kebe Shammai. Now, the Gemara wants to know, okay, that's very good. Meaning, we do now understand. Why didn't Rav Chista just simply go back to Beis Shammai regarding Bechor? You know, Beis Shammai by Bechor, when it becomes a bal mum, it still retains the Bechor identity to it. So why can't you say the same thing that Beis Shammai would say the same thing by Psulei Hamukdashim? It's more or less the same, but the Gemara basically says, yeah, but it's not the same. So Dilma, Ki Amrei Beis Shammai beBechor Dikdusha Sai Merechem Ava Psulei Hamukdashim Lo. So the Gemara says it is similar, but it's not the same. Consider by Bechor, when did it receive its kedusha? From the moment that it was born. By Psulei Hamukdashim, that's not true. It was set aside as a carbon later in its life. Okay, so therefore, you can make an argument that Bechor retains vestiges of Kedusha according to Beis Shammai, but not necessarily Psula HaMukdashim. V'luk mei David de Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara says, okay, why can't we just simply set up both like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon? So the Gemara's response, Dilma ki amar Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon b'Psula HaMukdashim da'alim alim mitfeis pidyonam ava b'Bechor lo. So the Gemara says, well, Maybe Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's position that even a redeemed karban has vestiges of kedusha is limited to psula mukdashim. Why? Because consider, it has such a strong kedusha that you can redeem it. That's not true by bechor. When a bechor becomes a baal mum, it's unredeemable. And the way the Gemara is presenting right now is because its kedusha, I know it's the opposite of what we said just a moment ago, but its kedusha is not strong enough where you're able to redeem it. Okay. And therefore, maybe according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the bechor that's a baal mum does not have any vestiges of its kedusha. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, leisle hadetnan. Now the Gemara says, now according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't subscribe to the following Mishnah, kol psula mukdashim nishchatim be'ilas v'nimkers be'ilas v'nishkalim be'litra. That when you have psula mukdashim, so how can it be sold? So we learned this earlier in our Masechta, as we also learned it back in Bechoros. When you have psula mukdashim, it can be sold in the open market. Now remember, the reason why is very simple. The more it fetches in the open market is going to obviously directly affect what its redemptive price is going to be. I know if I'm redeeming it based on the fact that it's based on its market value. Well, once I'm opening the market and being able to sell on the open market, so that means I'm going to redeem it for more. Redeeming it for more means more money for the Beis HaMikdash. Good. So Amma Kevin Deshari Slay Tfei V'Zavin. So you see over here that sale of the Psula HaMikdashim is totally allowed, and open sale and open market is allowed because we want to fetch more money. So what the Gemara is now arguing is, if anything, why shouldn't we say that you should be able to do this process of margilin? I'm going to end up with such a good hide, it's going to fetch more money, and so therefore it should be allowed because that's going to generate more revenue towards the Beit HaMikdash. So Amar Rav Mari, Berei Rav Kahana, Mash Mashbiach, Be'or, Pogim Be'basar. So the Gemara's answer, it's an economic answer, it's a financial answer. The Gemara says, if you're right that it actually generated more revenue, so then I'm with you. It doesn't generate more revenue, but rather, it's a zero-sum game. In other words, by doing the process of margilin, it's true you're going to get more money for the hide, but you're losing in terms of the animal. To do this process of margilin is going to cut into the meat of the animal, so you gain by the hide, but you lose by the animal, and so therefore you're not profiting in doing so, so therefore don't do it. Okay, in Marava, in Eretz Yisrael, they were giving different explanations of why it is he can't do margilin. So, b'marava mishmei d'rabbi avin m'mishin nirka ovid avod b'kachim. So, one explanation, and by the way, this is no longer limited to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. This now just is giving a more general explanation of why it is you can't do this type of flaying when it comes to psula hamukdashim. So, one is because nirka ovid avod b'kachim. Simply, optics. It doesn't look good. It looks like it's not really a carbon. You redeemed it, but nira. It looks like you're doing avodah b'kachim. Marasayin, if you will. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Avinam, Gzeira Shemigado, Behem Adar Madarim. Or another possibility is, look, if there's an allowance for this type of flaying to be done, so then the owner will say, you know what? Let's hold on to this animal a little bit longer because we're going to be able to flay in this manner. Apparently, this type of flaying was super popular, and I'm not going to shecht it immediately. I want to produce more animals like this, and it may incentivize people to breed it. We don't want people to breed it, and so that's why a ban of doing this process of margilin. Okay, fine. So, and these two last answers, by the way, no longer limit the prohibition to just the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. It's a more general explanation of why you can't do margilin. Hajlach v'lad chatos, that's the end of the fourth parak of the Masechta. And to recap, we went over, again, very difficult sugya, but the more you go over it, I feel this way, the more you go over it, the more comfortable you're going to be with it. In terms of the case of chatos amesa by an avuda, the machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim, and then the sub-machlokas of Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Abba, where they both, Amoraim, agree that there's a point where Chachamim will agree to Rabbi. What exactly is that point? According to Rabbi Huna, Mashach versus La Mashach. According to Rabbi Abba, which one I was miskaper with. The Gemara went over that machlokas and the sub-machlokas, and that took us to the Amud Beis. Then, on the Amud Beis, we started off with other halachas regarding a secondary chatos. If I have money pooled from the beginning, two times more than I need, so that extra money is not considered a chatas mesa, or in this case, ma'os, but rather, it's la'achrayos. And so therefore that second monies go to Nedava. On Chavdal and Alf, we saw Rabbi Yoshia say the same thing, but even regarding animals. I set aside two animals. Those two animals are Lachrayus, and therefore the second animal is not Holech Lamisa, but rather it is Holech Lenedava. Notable exception would be Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon would not agree to that, because Rabbi Shimon says that a second animal is always Holech Lamisa, unequivocally. Then finally, we went over the halacha of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, that if I redeem my Karban Chatos and sold it to somebody, that still has vestiges of the Karban Chatos, and if the replaced Karban Chatos is offered, that animal that was sold is Holech Lamisa. A real big chiddush on the part of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. And we ended off the parak with the halacha of margilin. Three times in halacha, you cannot flay the animal in this manner of margilin, creating a tubular hide. One is by yantav, a second is by bechor, and the third is by psula and hamugdashim. And the Gemara gave explanations for each of those three.